The night dark, the rain relentless, and yet you drive safely. Perhaps you have the eyes of a puma piercing the dark. Or a bullfrog seeing through the wetness, blurs, and glares. Or could it be your Bosch Night Performance wiper blades wiping this whole time? So adapted to the dangers of driving on stormy nights, it's almost as if you are too. Night vision has evolved. Bosch Night Performance wiper blades.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Anyway, Cameron Hill, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. You've got an intriguing story for us today. You know, one thing that crops up from time to time among wishing sporting hopefuls is, what could I be great at? You know, what could I actually myself reach the Olympics in, or whatever the pinnacle might be? But there is one sport that everyone actually does every day.
It's called pedestrianism.
Which, go on.
Even on its own is a fantastic name for it. I think it may be the early forerunner, pardon the pun, of race walking, which I believe someone described as a contest to whisper the loudest. It feels like people deride it as a non-sport. But back in the mid-19th century, it really took off. So it started with this guy, Edward Payson Weston, who was working for the New York Herald. He was meant to collect a box of upmarket flowers from a delivery wagon and send it off as a gift on behalf of his boss. But he forgot. The wagon arrives, leaves again. So he chases the van and eventually catches up with it. I don't know how you can do that without running, but he did. And a year later, he wagered with a friend on the outcome of the 1860 presidential election, with the loser agreeing to walk to Washington, D.C. to see the inauguration.
Well, this was Lincoln, because I know that, you know, all these coincidences about JFK being killed he was elected in 1960.
Yes. Yeah. You know, yeah. And,
so Lincoln was elected 100 years early. Anyway, which did he bet on?
He bet on John Breckinridge. So, yeah.
Who he? You know,
yeah,
forgotten.
Exactly. Yeah. Not a great betting man, it turns out, Edward Payson Weston. So he found himself on this 10-day trek that catapulted him to fame overnight. The papers wrote about him. He found that huge crowds would pay 50 cents each for the pleasure of watching him stride around purposely. He usually walked around with a cane, riding crop, ruffled shirt, injecting some sort of pizzazz showbiz to the proceedings. It goes without saying, TikTok wasn't a thing back then, so entertainment was a bit scarce, but yeah, he managed to attract the crowds. And by 1870, this had become a really big sport. In 1871, he walked 400 miles in 5 days and won $5,000 in wagers and gate money. And 3 years later, he walked 500 miles in less than 6 days. So you remember we were talking about Camille Herron and her exploits and the records and her Wikipedia vandalism of race walking and the 6 day event. This is kind of where it starts.
Okay, so he walked 500 miles in less than 6 days, and this caught the public imagination big time.
Indeed. Way before the proclaimers were talking about this sport was a massively popular concern. So in September of 1879, 10,000 spectators turned out to Madison Square Garden to see a 6 day event, 13 athletes competing for $25,000, which is the equivalent of nearly $800,000 today, and a belt of solid silver to be engraved with the words "Long Distance Champion of the World." They could run, amble, stagger, or crawl, but they must not leave the oval-shaped sawdust track until the race was over. Instead, they ate, drank, and napped in little tents at the side. So they just had to stay in this basically prison yard for the whole 6 days.
So if they wanted to take a 20-minute nap or a 10-minute nap or an hour nap, it was up to them to kind of gauge their own race.
Yeah, absolutely. Something hare and tortoisey there. But one of the first major stars, actually, to bring the Irish connection was Daniel O'Leary. So he was born in Clonakilty in 1846 during the famine. It said he began walking very early in life, like most of us, jumped out of the cradle early and walked 3 miles in under an hour while still a toddler. That might be embellished somewhat. Emigrated to America in 1865, moved to Chicago to work as a door-to-door salesman, so perfect place for training in that regard. And the Great Chicago Fire in 1871 left him with many debtors who had either died or fled the city. So he was left in financial ruin. So he looks at this sport and overheard a group discussing Weston's exploits, including his attempt to walk 500 miles. And he said, "I could do that." One person said that only an American could accomplish the feat, while another commented that Weston was planning on going to Europe to probably put some manners on those non-walking Europeans. So O'Leary said if he dropped into Ireland on the way, he'd get beaten so bad he'd never call himself a walker again. Everyone laughed at him. And then he finally said he could beat Weston, and they roared with laughter again. So O'Leary has this double edge of needing money and also personal exploits, but also wanting to...
The night dark, the rain relentless, and yet you drive safely. Perhaps you have the eyes of a puma piercing the dark. Or a bullfrog seeing through the wetness blurs and glares. Or could it be your Bosch Night Performance wiper blades wiping this whole time? So adapted to the dangers of driving on stormy nights, it's almost as if you are too. Night vision has evolved. Bosch Night Performance wiper blades.
Burnish the reputation of the Irish people that had just come to the country and were kind of laughed at and sneered at for not being able to do what Americans could do. So he announced that he would be attempting to walk 100 miles in 24 hours, baby steps. Betting odds were 4-1 against his success. He walked it on the 13th of July in 1874 with the air of a man who was determined to conquer or die.
Did he do it?
He did, fueled by only ice water and brandy. Interesting nutrition choice, and completed it in 23 hours, 17 minutes. Proved that an Irishman could complete the feat. He improved, walked 106 miles in a better time, and he repeated the challenge to race Weston. He constantly asked him, here, I'll give you a duel. Weston said, make a good record first and meet me after. Basically, show me your medals. So Weston can cover 500 miles in 6 days. He wanted to prove he could do it too. Made his first attempt in 1875. Couldn't get it done. Just came out short, I think, about 9 hours over the 6 day limit. But Weston was clearly irked. He wanted to put this corkman, like so many of us always want to do, he wanted to put a corkman in his place. So he could only manage 370 miles after 6 days. His crushed ego forced him to try again immediately. He gave up after 5 days and just over 200 miles covered. But eventually, in October of 1875, he agrees to this match with O'Leary. The Interstate Exhibition Building was the scene in Chicago. The $5,000 going to the winner, $2,500 going to the loser. So O'Leary shoots out in front early doors. He covers 110 miles, 20 miles ahead of Weston, continues to extend his lead, and finally reaches the target in a world record of 143 hours, 13 minutes. Weston could only manage 451, but he claimed that the Chicago crowd really favoured their hometown boy. They threw pepper in his face, apparently, but he felt that rematches would only favour and make the difference between the two athletes more aggravated, so he had to basically concede. They'd have some more engagements over the years, but O'Leary was clearly the king.
And big money, I presume, along the way. I mean, those that prize fund of $5,000, that's huge money at the time. Yeah. Anyway, he became a symbol for the emigrant population.
Yeah, and he was also quick to champion other champions, basically, from the minorities. So he was a big champion of Frank Hart, who became an early black sports hero. And he actually set up his own event, the O'Leary International Belt, which was a 6 day event. And the first winner of that was John Hughes from Roscrea. But the decline of the event was indicative of a decline in the popularity of pedestrianism. By 1881, the crowd numbers had shrunk to 10% of what it once was. And the facts pointed to the inevitable conclusion that people are at length awakening to the fact that walking matches, if they're not hippodromes in the worst sense of the word, are brutal exhibitions at best and ought not to be tolerated in a civilized community. So I wouldn't have thought that walking was kind of cast out and cancelled.
Shades of the Depression, they shoot horses, don't they? The marathon dancing and so on.
Yeah.
The last couple standing got the cash. Anyway, do you think this is a precursor of the Olympic sport?
Feels like it is. Like a few years later, the marathon was introduced as part of the first modern games in Athens. Kind of has the same, a similar origin story to how the original marathon came along, with someone trying to chase down and get there. Although he didn't perish straight away, Edward Pace and Weston, and we're glad, of course. But ultramarathons are huge now as well. Ironman competitions, race walking is still a massive concern. So yeah, it feels like it was the start. So we have to pay tribute to EPW today.
And Daniel O'Leary, you've, I suppose, renewed his reputation.
Yeah, restored it. I don't know how many of those debtors were paid in the end. But
Cameron Hill, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Driving on stormy nights can become so difficult that you may wish you had the eyes of a night creature, like an owl. Or a tarsier. What's a tarsier? Well, it's like a... Look, it doesn't matter. Bosch Night Performance Wiper Blades reduce blur and glare, clearing away rain so you can drive even better than a tar seer, whatever that is. Night vision has evolved. Bosch Night Performance Wiper Blades.